You all wish you had a book.
Just kidding. That is so cool.
All right, I got to stop thinking about it. I'm going to cry. Worship team, what an awesome job. Amazing. I think you just kind of continue to get better every week. That's the goal? Me too, brother. Me too. I got a ways to go, though. Somebody short had this. She is big in Jesus. That's a little too tall. Exodus chapter 34, for those of you that brought your Bible, this is probably going to be our last week of heart trouble. And today we're going to talk about congenital heart issues. Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Thank you, Jesus. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers and on of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and the fourth generations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Reba family. Oh, Jesus, I'm so grateful for them. For Casey and Rebel, Lord. Lord, we pray that we would continue to fulfill our commitment to them that we have made this morning. God, I pray for this message, Lord, that it would fall upon anointed eyes and ears and hearts and minds. Lord God, that you would move in a powerful way through this word, Lord, that you would continue to draw us into the church that you are creating, God, your perfect, spotless bride that's ready for the return of the Son. And Father, I ask for an anointing to be able to speak this message as it's your word, not mine. And it's for your people. So God, anoint and bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Congenital heart issues are heart issues that you might be born with. Could be a heart defect, could be a murmur, could be a lot of different things. And some of those heart issues are even hereditary. Ones that were passed down from your parents, from your parents' parents, on whichever side of your family. Some of us have them. Sometimes people have them and they don't know for years that they have those issues until they have a checkup or something and the doctor says, oh, something's a little off here. We need to check this out. And then they do some testing and suddenly you find out, I've had an issue all along and I just didn't even know it. Congenital heart issues are not uncommon. They just are. And sometimes they get passed from generation to generation to generation to generation. When you go to a new doctor, which I'm in the process of trying to do, had an appointment like a week or two ago, and doctor got called into the COVID unit, so I had to cancel my appointment. But there's all the paperwork. I don't know if you've changed doctors lately, but there's so much paperwork to change doctors. Like, they send you a packet or email it to you, and it's form after form after form. And a lot of the questions are family history. Is there diabetes in your family? Is there cancer in your family? Is there heart disease in your family? Is there this? Is there that? Is there this? And some of it, I read it. I don't even know what it is. I have to Google it to even know, like, what in the world are they even asking me if I have? I probably don't have it, or nobody in my family has it, or I would know how to pronounce it, you know, but it's just all of these things. I had a cousin, he actually passed away before I was born, who had a really, really rare bone disease where his bones were incredibly brittle and they would just break all the time. He spent most of his life in a cast until he passed away at 4 or 5, or I mean, he was really young. And that was a genetic issue, something that had been passed down. It was really rare, but it had finally gotten to him. And there are those things, and you don't find out about them. You know, we had a really, really good friend who passed away about a little over a year ago. And she had genetic issues that she didn't know about. And they didn't find out about it until she was, like, literally almost at death's door, found out her dad passed away from the same thing. Her dad's dad passed away from the same thing. But nobody ever talked about it. Nobody ever knew. That's the way it seems to be, the way generational curses happen or work. Nobody talks about it. We know it's there. We just don't talk about it. It gets passed from generation to generation to generation. There are so many different things, like in my own personal family medical history, you know, there's arthritis, there's cancer. Like, my mom's had 3 forms of cancer. There's heart disease and diabetes and alcoholism and smoking and lying. And I mean, that just, that's not a disease, but it kind of is, you know. There's so many things that if I look back, if I start filling out those doctor forms, I start going, yeah, check, yeah, check, yeah, check, check. You know, like all of these things that get passed down from your parents, from your grandparents, whatever. And they just, it amazes me that sometimes we just don't want to talk about it, or we just avoid talking about it. We know, but yet we don't talk about it. Some of these are genetic. Some of these are spiritual. These are addiction. I think there are genetic parts of addiction, but I think there are spiritual aspects to it as well that we just don't talk about. I'm from a whole family, long line of addicts. Long line of addicts. Just there. I never knew about it. I didn't think about it. Didn't talk about it. But it was always there. Just always was. I believe 100% in generational curses. I do. I don't like them. But I believe in them. And I believe in them in part because I have them. Like, I have those issues that have been passed down and passed down and passed down and passed down. And it's really easy to see them when you have them, when you see them in your family. If you look at your family and take an honest assessment of your family, you can see, oh yeah, that's there. And that's there. And that's there. Whether it's addictions, abuse, anger can be a generational curse. And so many of these things can be tied directly back to the heart. They're tied directly back to your heart because you allow your heart to carry those things with you. That you allow your heart to focus on those things. I would say that growing up, I didn't think about it. It was just a part of life, right? I've said it, I don't even know how many times I've said it. Growing up, the way that I saw that you had fun growing up was you gathered around a bunch of people, and you started ingesting whatever beverage you chose to ingest, and you did that until you basically could no longer be held responsible for what you did because you had ingested so many of those that, like, oh, well, that's just, he's just in a bad place, bad condition, however you want to look at it. And so it could be held against you. And that's just the way I grew up thinking that's the way you had fun. Because that's the only way I saw my family having fun. So that's what I did as a teenager. Every weekend, it's what I would do. Right? It was normal to me. This is just what you do. So that's what I did as a teenager. And then I met this girl. All went downhill from there. Being around her family helped me understand that it wasn't normal the way I grew up. Like, that's not how other people did things. That's not the way other people handled things. And I thought, oh, this is weird. You know, like they would get upset about certain things. And I would think, I've never seen anyone in my family get upset about that. Because that's what everyone did, you know. I started to see things differently. And then I started opening this book and started reading through this book. And I start seeing these things like Exodus 34. And it starts to kind of click in my mind. There are some things that are passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation. And if we don't stop it from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation until somebody says no more. So I said, no more. Now it helped when I had kids because I was really getting into my Bible and my kids were growing up and I got to this place where I just thought every way I thought was normal growing up, when I read this book, it's not normal. This is not how God says to handle things. This is not how he says things ought to be done. And so I don't think I want to do things that way anymore. And I don't want my kids to think that's the way to do things. And so there came this point where I said, nope, I'm breaking this generational curse. Not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to pass these things down to my kids. Judges chapter 9, verses 55 through 57. The book of Judges is a great study. If you ever want to study something, it's amazing. And I'll tell you why in a minute. Verses 55 through 57. When the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, each departed to his home. Thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father in killing his 70 brothers. Also, God returned all the wickedness of the men of Shechem on their heads, and the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal, came upon them. I forget if it's Jerubbaal, or there may be an extra syllable in there somewhere. God was repaying evil for evil. Now, I'm not saying that it works exactly like this, New Testament times after Jesus. But I do know that generational curses still exist. They still get passed down. If they didn't still get passed down, it wouldn't have been difficult for me to not drink. It wouldn't have been difficult for me to not smoke. It wouldn't have been difficult for me not to do certain things. I would have just known they weren't the right thing to do and not did them. But that's not the way it was, because that generational curse had been passed down and passed down and passed down and passed down and passed down to the point that it got to me and I was just going to carry it right on along. I was just going to do what everybody else had always done and do it the way everybody else had always done it and the way, you know, step siblings and parents and step families and that's the way all of them did it. And so when I got to that place where I looked at my kids and said, I don't want my kids to grow up thinking that this is the way it's supposed to be, I started to say no. And some of my family to this day looks at me as if I'm an alien in a foreign land because I don't do some of those things. And they think I just don't have any fun. They think, well, but you don't. No, I don't. Well, don't you have fun? All the time. Constantly. I just don't have fun that way. And it's a matter of learning that there's a different way to do things. Because there's a different way to do things. And you can do things differently and still have a good time. I have more fun being around my church family and laughing and cutting up with them because I can remember it tomorrow. And because we have a church work day and I wake up the next morning sore, but it's muscular soreness. Like I'm not worried. I don't have a massive headache. I'm not nauseated. There's certain things that happen the morning after that I don't have to deal with anymore. And I'm getting old and those things hurt more now, I would imagine. I don't know. It's been a really, really long time. Really, really long time. In fact, I could tell you right now, I couldn't tell you the date, but I could tell you the last alcohol I had. Tammy and I went to Nagoya to the hibachi restaurant. And this guy's doing the hibachi, just cutting the stuff up and squirting this stuff on there and cooking and all this stuff. And he takes one of the bottles and he points it at me. And he's like, wants me to open my mouth. I don't know what's in it. I'm stupid enough to do it. So I open my mouth and he goes, whoosh. And about the time it hit the back of my throat, I realized that he said, sake. And I went, and swallowed it because it hit the back of my throat. But then he's like, again? And I'm like, no. And I got mad. I was about ready to leave. Because I don't drink. And I realized what he was doing. And that's the last alcohol I've had. And I was mad about it. And I even confessed it, even though I don't really think I did anything wrong. But I confessed it to my pastor at the time. Because I was serving under him. And said, hey, this happened. He's like, that's not a big deal. I said, well, I was pretty mad about it. So it's a pretty big deal to me. I knew, I understood that there were generational curses in my family. Some of my family, a lot of my family are still dealing with those generational curses today. And I didn't want my kids to look at me in 20 years and say, Dad, why didn't you tell me about this? Why didn't you do something about this? Why didn't you? I would tell them when they would get mad at me about a decision I made or punishment I doled out or whatever, you're right. Your dad's a big jerk. Someday you tell your therapist about it. They can call me and I'll say, yep, sure was. I was a big jerk. But I didn't teach them certain things. Like, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the things that I raised them and taught them to do. Not all of them are perfect. I was not a perfect parent. I apologized many, many times to my kids when I would lose my temper or lose my cool because there is a temper here. They have seen it. Not very many people have seen it the way my kids have seen it, but it's there. I keep that monster buried way below. He's locked up, padlocked. There's a security code. It's way down deep under there. But it's there, I promise you. Okay, she's seen it too. I think there could be more than one reason for generational curses. I think there could be more than one reason for certain things. Sometimes it happens because something happened to somebody and they responded a certain way, and then that was the beginning of the generational curse. Some of it was just ignorance of even allowing that curse to begin. You know, I don't know a single addict who ever began doing what they do, whatever drug, alcohol, whatever it is. I don't know anybody who said, I'm going to try this so that I can get addicted. Nobody ever does that. It was, I'm going to try this, and some part of their body or their mind or whatever thought, that's really good. I like that. I'm going to do that again. And some of them, there are genetic reasons. I believe there are genetic reasons behind addiction. It's a generational curse. It's genetic. It's there. But here's the thing that stood out to me when I started praying about and thinking about, as my kids are growing up and I'm thinking about generational curses and I'm thinking about all of these things. I get to chat to Daniel chapter 1 and I go to verse 8. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. There was a moment in Daniel's life where what they're trying to feed him, what they're trying to give him to drink, what they think is good is different than what God says is good for Daniel. Right? There's this really major difference in what they wanted to give him and what God said he should have. And Daniel said, it says he made up his mind that he would not defile himself. See, you have to make up your mind that I'm not going to do it. You have to make up your mind that this is not going to be a part of who I am or something that I'm going to pass down to my kids. He made up his mind, I am not going to defile myself. I am not going to go against what my God says. I'm not going to do anything but what God says I should do. He made up his mind. And I believe it with all of my heart. And I know people right now that I am related to who would start the sentence, well, my mama, well, my daddy, well, but this one time, this one thing happened, and that's why I am the way I am. And bad things happen to us in life. And I'm sorry they happen. Bad things happen to me in my life. Some I'll probably never tell you about. But I will not be a victim. I made up my mind. Not going to do it. It's not always easy. It's just not. It's. I wish it were easy. I wish so much it was easy. But it's just not. Making up your mind and following through with it is hard. Because you're going to be around people who are going to say, that's not a big deal. It's fine. It's just one time. It's just this thing. It's just this or it's just that. Or it's just whatever. What I know about me and my family history is one is never enough. If one's good, two's amazing. Three, phenomenal. Four, might not know who I am or where I am, but we're still going. Right? One's never enough. With my family history, one's never enough. Now, I can't just do one. Well, I'm just going to have one. That's not the way I work. not the way I work at all. I never did that. I never, ever said, I'm just going to have one. If you're just supposed to have one, why do they put it in a six-pack? I mean, come on. I wasn't raised to be a quitter, right? You don't stop till it's done. You just got to finish it, right? I'm a finisher. I don't start and then not finish it. It's just not the way it is, not the way I'm wired. Daniel made that decision. And I wonder if sometimes we don't underestimate or we don't undervalue how hard the decision Daniel made was. Because the decision Daniel made could have easily ended his life. Because he said, I'm not going to eat that stuff. And if he really decided not to eat that stuff, and they didn't give him anything else to eat, he would have just perished. But he didn't care. And that's the mindset that we must have to break generational curses. They may start easy, but they don't end easy. They may start very flippantly, very in a moment, very just innocently, but that's not the way they end. They end very difficultly because you have to make up your mind, no question, no doubt, I will not do it. And when you're around other people who say it's not a big deal, I will not do it. I have been around people, I was going to mention a name, but I won't say a name. I have been around people who, as a former smoker, I was really good at it too. I've been around people who were just having a cigar. And they're like, here, have one. Ooh, no. It's just a cigar. Uh-huh. It's just one. And then next thing you know, I'm at the store buying a carton. And I don't know if you've priced cigarettes lately. There's nothing that would make me want to quit faster than having to buy a pack of cigarettes. Lord Jesus. Oh my word, I saw the price the other day at the store. And I thought, oh my goodness, do you have to take out a loan? Do you make payments on those things or what? This is so much more than when I smoked before. And please know, I'm not saying you're a terrible person if you do. I'm saying I'm breaking a curse in my family. And so that's what I have to do. That's the way I have to handle it. I have to do it this way or it's going to be passed down to the next generation. And I don't want to do it. I don't want my kids to be having to deal with that stuff. They got other stuff I've given them to deal with. I don't want to give them those things. You know, they've got me as a dad. That's enough. You know, I don't need to add on to it this other stuff. I know and love a lot of people who still do these things. They're just not something I can do. They don't fit into what God's called me to do and who God's made me and created me to be. And I just know I've got to break these curses. I have to break them. Because I don't know if the next generation will be willing to. I don't know if they'll have what it takes. And I don't want them to look at me in 10 years and say, Dad, why didn't you tell me it was going to be so hard for me to quit this thing? That's not the way it's happened. I've told them the stories. I've told them about how I quit smoking. I tried every possible way to quit. I made all kinds of deals with myself. You know, I'm just going to do one today. I'm just going to buy, you know, one pack a week. I'm just going to do it this way. I'm just going to do it this way. I was a terrible quitter. I was not good at it at all. Until I handed it to the Lord and said, God, I can't do it. I've tried and I can't do it. And then I went to a conference, a men's conference, and God touched me and moved on me, and I never wanted one the whole weekend. And then he gave me a dream. I say a dream. It didn't feel like a dream. Because I know I was asleep. And in my dream, I had a cigarette. And it burned in my lungs. I mean, and my entire body went, oh. It was that fix I hadn't had in forever. And I woke up feeling guilty. When I woke up, it was like, oh no, I smoked. I don't know how I did it, but I did it. And I have explained this to Tammy, and she's going to be mad at me, and this is not going to be fun. And I mean, that's how real it was to me. That's the first time I'd ever had a dream like that. And I knew when I woke up and I felt that guilt that I could never, ever, ever touch another one. Or I would be hooked the rest of my life. And I'm breaking that curse. I'm breaking it with everything that I have. With everything. And not just for me. My wife didn't like me smoking. We fought about it, about the money, about all kinds of stuff. I ain't quit for her. I love her, but I ain't quit for her. I quit because it was this thing I had to do. And I could only do it with the Lord. You can only break generational curses with the help of the Lord. That's it. But you have to make up your mind. You have to want to do it. The only way that I was ever able to quit smoking, and please, I know it's the thing I'm harping on, and please don't think that I'm saying anything about anybody in here that smokes, because it's not the way I feel. Doesn't bother me a bit. Not my problem. I love you no matter what. For me, that was the thing. I knew I couldn't do it. And I had to have his help. And that's the only way I was ever able to do it. But I had to have my mind made up that I wanted it. Because until you make up your mind, until you have that Daniel mentality that says, I will not do this. You have to make up your mind and be so, have your mind so made up that nobody or nothing can change it. I mean, nobody can change it. Nope, don't even try. I don't care how much you love me or how close we are. You're not going to change my mind, because this is what I know God has for me, and this is what I know God wants for me. Romans 8, 5 and 8, as we're closing, not the first closure, the final closure, I promise. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We have to be His church, to be His children. We have to be spirit-minded. We have to set our minds on spiritual things. And if we set our mind on spiritual things, then there's this deep calling unto deep thing that will happen. And God's Spirit will speak to our spirit. And there will be this communal thing that happens. And He will lead us in the way. He will lead us and help us to make the changes that we need to make, to set our mind, to determine in our mind, we will no longer do this. Because you can only do it with His help. And I hate watching people I know carrying generational curses. I hate watching people that I know carrying them around. And some of them not even knowing, some of them knowing but not being willing, ready or able or even interested in doing anything about it. It just is. Well, that's just the way it is. That's just the way I was raised. It's just, that's that. Oh, that makes me so mad. That's just the way I was raised. You know what? Doesn't matter how you raised. Doesn't matter how you start, matters how you finish. Doesn't matter how you were raised. You can make the change. You can decide right now. You can set it in your mind. This is not going to be this way any longer. But I think you have to set your mindset that way before God's really going to move. Because if you don't really want it, God's not really going to do anything about it. I think sometimes we pray things that we really don't care about. And I don't think we really see God move in those. I think it's when we pray from our heart and from the depth that says, this is what I want, God. This is what I need to see happen. This is what I'm asking you for. There just has to be this. God doesn't want to hear your what I always call Miss America prayers. I know God likes to hear from His children. Okay? But I know as a parent, I would rather hear authenticity from my kids than what they think I want to hear. Tell me how it really is. Don't tell me how you think I want to, what you think I want to hear. Because I can't deal with imaginary stuff. I need to deal with reality and what's real. Well, I'm really dealing with this. Well, then we can really deal with it. Well, I'm really in the struggling with this. Well, I think there has to be this realistic conversation with the Lord where this is what you really honestly want. And then you'll really honestly see God start to move in it. But you have to be real with Him. You can't sugarcoat it. You can't put flowers on it. You can't say, well, you know, it would kind of be nice if it kind of looked like. He wants to know how you really, really feel. I'm going to tell you, one of my favorite parts of the story of Jesus is that Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners. It's the greatest thing in the Bible to me. Because I know that those were people like me. Those were people like me. Those were people like you. It wasn't the religious people that Jesus spent His time with. It wasn't the guys wearing the robes with the tassels and the bells and all of that. Praise God, I don't have to wear those things. Thank you, Jesus. But those weren't the guys He was spending His time with. Every opportunity He got, He was in somebody's house eating at a table with a bunch of sinners. That means He'd be sitting with me. That means He would be sitting there that I could look over across the table and see Him there. And I think we sometimes make the mistake of thinking that because they were at the table with Jesus, that the conversation sounded like, oh, thou Lord, wouldest thou passeth me the mashed potatoes? They're tax collectors and sinners. I'm pretty sure it's a little rougher than that. Because Jesus loves us where we are to get us where He wants us to be. And to get where He wants us to be, some of us need some generational curses broken. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your head. I used to always laugh, Reggie Dabbs, who we're going to see at youth camp, at men's conference, when they were having invitation time prayer. He would say, every head bowed, every eye closed. And if you're looking around, I pray the Lord gives you diarrhea. I'm not praying that, but I'm not against it either. Because this is a moment that needs to be between you and the Lord. And I don't want you to be afraid for a moment that anybody is going to be looking around to see what your issues or if you even have issues. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm your pastor and I'm grateful and excited to be so, but I have issues. And I have generational curses. And I'm breaking them. And I'm going to keep breaking them every day because I've set my mind. I have decided to not do those things anymore. And I don't know what your generational curse that you might be carrying is. I don't know what it is. But I know that God can touch your heart and can touch your spirit. And if you'll set your mind to say, God, I want to break that curse, that God will be all in. He'll be all in right there, ready to help. If you'll just set your mind, if you'll just set your mind that I'm going to break it as of today, that I want to walk away from this church this morning knowing that that curse is broken. Walking away with generational blessings and not generational curses. I want to see the hands of those with generational curses ready to set your mind. Ready to set your mind, ready to make that decision that today is the last day of the generational curse in my family, that I will not leave this place with that curse. I will not leave this place carrying that with me any longer. That my children will not have to deal with that. My children will not have to face that. My grandchildren will not have to face that because I'm breaking that generational curse right now. Yes, Lord, thank you. Yes, Lord, thank you. So God, I pray right now for those hands. I don't know what the curse is, but I know you know. God, I don't know what it is, Lord, that they want to break. I don't know what it is, God, but let them set their mind so determined, so absolutely, their mind set so well. So permanently that they will leave this place differently than they came in. Not carrying that curse with them any longer. Chains broken, Lord God. Curses removed. Curses broken, Lord. Break them right now, today, Lord. Lord God, I thank you for those hands. And God, I believe there's hands that weren't raised that maybe just aren't quite ready. Get them ready, Lord. Get them ready to make that mindset change. That they would set it in rock, in the rock, that it would not be movable or removable, that they would be forever changed. Thank you for being my curse breaker. Thank you for being our curse breaker. Thank you for being with us this morning. God, thank you for moving in the way that you're moving and blessing in the way that you're blessing. God, I thank you for all that I see that others don't see. Thank you for the things, God, even that I don't see yet. The clouds that are coming, Lord. The size of the man's hand, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love, your gentle kindness, for your spirit and your presence. Father, bless our week as we leave this place. Strengthen us, encourage us, lift us up, God, as we go forward into this week, ready to face whatever challenges come with broken curses and freed minds. Bless us, God, and keep us. Light our paths. Lead us in your way everlasting in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.